The following program was recorded on March 11th, previous to the COVID-19 regulation guidelines.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today, a special report, Changed Lives. I've got my co-host here, which is Pastor Garrett Morgan. Welcome, Pastor Garrett.
It's always good to be here, Tom.
Welcome back. I always do like doing a program with you.
Amen.
This is really special because we're inaugurating a series of programs that we'll be archiving over the years, and we'll be putting it on our strongtowerradio.org website.
Wonderful.
And the name of the program, again, is Changed Lives. Now, Pastor Garrett, we've done this for years. Mm-hmm. We've done it in our newsletter every month. You'll want to get it
right
on strongtowerradio.org. You can sign up for it, or you can look at a digital version online. Mm-hmm. But we're going to put it three-dimensional, at least two-dimensional with sound, and put it on our website.
I love it. You can be able to see it, be able to hear it. It's all there.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Well, today we're starting off this inaugural session with Greg Owens. Greg Owens, he's going to tell his story about a changed life. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today, Greg.
Thank you, sir.
Greg.
It's nice to be here.
And we're glad to have you. In fact, I've seen correspondence from you over the years, and the rest of the story will be told in the next hour.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. And we've got Rod Dima back. We've had you. This is about the third time we've had you on the program.
I believe it is. I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you. Well, Pastor Garrett, why don't you throw out the first question for a Changed Live program?
Awesome. You know, I would love to do that, but would you mind if we start with a word of prayer?
Great idea.
That would be wonderful. Thanks. Let's go ahead and pray, guys. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for another day of life. Father, you change our lives each and every day for the better, and we just ask that as we listen to this, that, Lord, we might be able to relate, and, Father, we're so thankful for your Holy Spirit that convicts us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, Greg, this is the first time that I've met you, and we talked a little bit before this interview, and of course, I'm sure all of us will butt in when we want to, but tell me a little bit about your childhood. So, you talked a little bit about Grand Ledge Academy when it was Grand Ledge Academy, a little bit before my time. I know that Tom was at Grand Ledge.
Grand Ledge. I'm a graduate. 1976.
Right. 1976, Grand Ledge Academy.
That's right.
But you were a student there. Do you want to tell us a little bit about when you were a student there at Grand Ledge?
Yes. I went there for the first 8 years. I would have to admit that it was the best years of my entire life.
Wow.
I made friends there, true friends that I've never been able to do the rest of my life.
Mm.
I miss thinking about that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was... There was friendship, there was love, there was acceptance, things that have been pretty much absent since those days.
So Grand Ledge was a smaller school,
yes,
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. An elementary school. I think it might have been a junior high at the time you went.
It was first elementary school. I was there for the first 5 years, and then we went to the academy after that. That's across from the old Grand Ledge Church.
Absolutely. Great, great. And we had a mutual teacher that started this whole conversation,
yes.
Mrs. Rabideau.
Yes, wonderful lady. funny story, I remember we were all out in the playground playing, and she was playing chase, she was chasing us around, and a friend of mine.
She was probably at least 60 years old.
Oh, at least, yes. And she was chasing Jaretta Dickerson around the monkey bars.
Okay.
And she got herself on the nose
Oh, no.
by one of the things. And And we were all so scared for her, you know. And so one of the other teachers came in and we had us all draw the scene on paper, you know. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
Just a wonderful, wonderful lady, and I'll remember her forever.
Well, let me just add to this the memories and such. Probably the most influential teacher in my life,
wow.
As well as her husband, Art Rabideau, two dedicated Christian people who showed me what Christianity, you know. I have a wonderful grandmother, wonderful mother and father, but these two teachers, I still remember singing a song, Precious Jewels. She probably sang that for you too.
I'm sure she did.
Amen.
So you just mentioned that your time at Grand Ledge Academy were the best years of your life because they accepted you for who you were. There was love. There was acceptance. They taught you about Jesus and let you have a relationship with him. So you loved going to school and you loved the academy there.
Most assuredly.
But was there a difference between what happened at school and what was happening at home?
Almost assuredly.
So what was the difference there? What was happening at home that wasn't at school?
Home was very loveless and abusive.
Oh.
So I looked forward to escaping to school each and every day.
School was your safe zone.
Yes.
I see.
You know, my
especially
friends.
Especially with Mrs. Rabideau.
Especially with Mrs. Rabideau. But friends accepted you for who you were. They didn't expect, you know, the impossible. And it was just, you know, I can't describe it, you know, compared to today.
So home was, you just mentioned, abusive physically as well as emotionally and probably verbally and all those things.
Most assuredly.
And you mentioned that your stepdad was kind of the root of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that your relationship with your stepdad who abused you at that time in your life, do you think that affected how you viewed God?
Most assuredly it did.
Okay. How so?
How can someone such as God, who they claim is love, allow such an angry individual to treat a child or children, I should say, in this manner?
Mm.
You know, so it's confusing to say, well, God loves you. Well, okay, why is he letting this happen?
Mm.
You know, why doesn't he change him? Things like that. You're confused, especially as young as I was.
Right.
How can I know? I go to school, I'm taught that this loving God answers prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray every night, you beg and you plead, yet nothing changes. So how do you believe what is being told you?
And all this was going through a grade school mind.
Right, exactly.
That must have been horrific,
to say the least.
Those are big thoughts for a small person. So you're going through this, and you love to go to school because it's an escape from the reality of what's happening at home. Was your stepdad going to church at the time that you were in grade school?
At the beginning, yes.
Okay, and everything seemed to be well. Now, you went to church with him at the beginning, but was there like family worship at home? Was there any of that happening?
Not to speak of, no.
Okay, so it was purely kind of a front.
Yeah, in my book it was, yes.
Okay.
Now, I can't vouch for his true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I know that his Bible was worn out.
Hmm.
You know?
Sure.
I think my mother even has it to this day.
Wow.
You know, but he wore it out.
Mm.
But he still was who he was.
You didn't see evidence of a changed heart?
I didn't see evidence of that, no.
Mm.
I mean, there's a sense where you see, and this is where life began to change later on down the line, is when God takes away the pain and you start to see the positive in things. He allowed me to look back to see the good that he did for me, what he taught me. Even though he never said, I love you, even though he was extremely physically abusive and emotionally abusive, when you look back for only the positive, you begin to see, you know, the good things that he did for you.
There are little pieces there.
Little pieces that begin to form.
Okay.
You know.
So, just focusing on this, so later on in your life, we'll get to that in a minute, but at Grand Ledge, there were seeds planted.
Oh, big time.
Seeds planted.
Yes.
And those came to fruition later.
What were the most important seeds that held you through the years that you came back to?
First and foremost, the truth of the Sabbath, the truth of life after death, things like that, you know, where you know that you're asleep, you know that there's no secret rapture, you know that, you mm-hmm. know, time is coming and you're going to see him plainly, you're going to hear him plainly.
So when many other people were believing or sharing other things later in life, which we're going to talk about, you had a grounding, you had a theological
yes.
strength, truths to hang on to.
Yes.
Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. So there was a time, you were in eighth grade there at Grand Ledge, still loving life, still loving the school there, and then all of a sudden something changed.
Yeah, we were right in the middle of eighth grade year. We were ripped away from the school, shoved into public school, and that was, I mean, you know, there was a upheaval with my stepfather and a pastor at the Seventh-day Adventist Church that they didn't agree, and Dad is prideful as he was, you know, said, okay, we're done.
You know, it's a sad thing, and I've been a pastor for a few years now, and there's a lot of people with a lot more experience than me. But in the few years that I've been in church and been the pastor of churches, I found that sometimes the biggest disagreements aren't necessarily theological, but they're so petty. You know what I mean?
Interpersonal. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And often those interpersonal.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, and it can completely destroy not only churches but lives.
Yes.
So there was one of those almost petty disagreements that happened between your dad and maybe some leadership.
Yep.
And in consequence, you were put into a completely different lifestyle.
Yes.
Almost for overnight.
Sure. Overnight.
And so what happened?
Well, when you go into from a school that had six or seven kids in the whole class
yeah.
that were your best friends that you grew up with, to being an invisible child in a class of 30 or 40, you know, it destroys your life. And that's putting it mildly. I became invisible, and I just chose to follow the crowd that did accept me for no matter what.
And what was that crowd?
Well, it's back in that time, it was called either the smokers or the stoners, or, you know, that outcast group that always stood on the corner outside the school to,
sure,
you know, and you learn to skip class and do drugs, and pretty soon school didn't matter. All it was, still, it was an escape, because I'd get on the bus in the morning and I'd step off at the school and disappear off into the streets or into the woods or, you know, downtown. And then when the bus came at 3:30, I stepped back on and had to go back to home.
So you joined this crowd mostly just because they accepted you and you were looking
exactly,
for acceptance.
Exactly.
Mm. So when you were in Grand Ledge, you mentioned to me earlier that your grades at Grand were straight A student.
Yes.
And then things dramatically changed when you went to this different school system.
For sure.
Because it was such a shock.
Right. I had no guidance, no help, because there was so many. One teacher in a class of 35 or so can't focus on each child.
It's impossible.
Right.
So what would be your advice? I know that there's lots of different types of people that listen to Strong Tower Radio.
Of course.
And I don't know exactly who's listening, but there may be someone that's listening right now that maybe is going to public high school. I don't know. Maybe they're feeling the same things that you did. Maybe they feel like they don't fit in, and they're looking for acceptance. They're looking for someone to love them. They're looking for what love really is. What would be your advice to that person that's in high school right now that's just struggling?
Two things. First, schools normally have a good counselor.
Okay.
Okay. Reach out.
Mm.
Don't stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to that counselor.
Okay.
Talk with that counselor. Second, be heard.
Mm.
Even in your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your head down.
Mm-hmm.
Get confidence and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make yourself available.
Yeah.
You know, don't just hide.
Wow, that
makes
sense.
Only makes it worse.
And you know, I guarantee you, and I'm just speaking for me, but if there was someone that was in high school that reached out to me as a local pastor and needed someone to listen, I know that I would be there to listen to them.
Right.
And I'm sure that there's people at Seventh-day Adventist churches around Michigan, around the world, that would be willing to listen to someone that was struggling.
Right. And first and foremost, never forget that there's always one listening.
Amen.
Okay. God is always listening.
That's right.
So even if you can't find someone else physically, get on your knees.
Amen.
You know, because he's always listening.
That wonderful counselor, mighty
Amen.
God, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is the first segment. We're going to, in the next segment, you're going to hear something more. And then the last segment, there's going to be a redeeming factor to it.
Amen. Well, he'll hear from Rod more then, too.
Absolutely. And this is a Strong Tower Radio special edition, Change Lives, the inaugural edition. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor from Amazing Facts. Strong Tower Radio is a station that believes in the power of prayer. In the book, Steps to Christ, we're told, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. What a beautiful promise of God's power for our lives. Do you have a special prayer request that you'd like for us to pray for? If so, call us at 877-278-5512. Or send an email through our website, strongtowerradio.org. We have a team of prayer warriors standing by to join with you in taking your petitions to the throne of grace. God loves each of us so much, and He's waiting to hear from you.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org. And there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Today, Changed Life Session. We have Pastor Morgan. Welcome back.
Good to be here, as always.
And we have a special guest, Greg Owens. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
And we have Rod Donnebeck. Rod Donnebeck, we haven't introduced him yet. He's with the Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church and with Prison Ministries. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back in the studio. Well, Pastor Garrett, we were going over Greg Owens' story, changed life. He had somewhat of an idyllic life in a good, secure church school in Grand Ledge. That's a suburb of Lansing. It's west of Lansing. It happened to be my alma mater, too, so I have a connection to that. So then after, the family had some problems.
Yeah.
And those problems accelerated. There was a little disagreement. Didn't seem to be a doctrinal, but seemed to be between the stepfather and the pastor. So he got pulled out of his secure environment, put into another school, and he chose a whole different set of friends. Those friends were the problematic children, the ones who, young people who walked away or tried to see how bad they could be. And things kind of get worse before they get better.
Yeah. And so right now, we're probably at the darkest point in your life, or one of the darkest points in your life. You're there and you're trying to fit in. You're trying to somewhat cope with life. And so you're in high school. What happens? Do you continue going through high school, or do you decide to just get away from it all?
Well, by the time I got through 10th grade, I sophomore year, I was straight F's. I didn't go to school much. I started to go back the following year in 11th grade, but I dropped out within months and just got a job. And I was working and, you know, going home. But finally, I couldn't take any more. So one day I just walked out.
So you're on your own.
I went on my own. I lived on the street for six months or so. Moved in with somebody that was, a friend at work. Lived there for a while. You know, just common story with a lot of different runaways.
Sure.
Bouncing from couch to couch and
couch surfing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and fell into some, bad ways.
So during this time, so you're on your own at a very young age, you kind of away from your family at this point.
Yep, I didn't even speak to them probably for about a year.
Okay, you're away from God now at this point.
Oh, for sure.
All those things are long gone.
Yep.
How typical is that of young people that get on this path? They leave their family. Is this a typical story or does it diverge?
It's not a typical story.
Okay.
It actually gets much worse.
Yeah. So during this time, you got probably a little bit better acquainted with drugs and things like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. And this went on for how many years?
Until I was about 21.
Okay. And then when you're 21, you got into a relationship.
Yep. I got into a very unstable relationship.
Okay.
A lot of deception on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it lasted for almost 17 years.
Wow.
And as it progressed, it just got steadily worse.
Okay.
On both ends. And just all I can say is bad things happened.
Yeah. You know, and I really appreciate your attitude in this because I've done interviews before and I've heard people tell their testimonies before. And it seems like often they get into the details so much so that you lose the story of Jesus, you know, fulfilling your lives. And it's a good thing to talk about the past in a sense, but it's also good to let the details kind of be in the past.
Right. You can't live in the past.
Amen. Amen. But we know these things happened.
Right.
So you're going through this difficult time, this relationship, and that ends. And then later on in your life, there's a decision made, and there's a crime committed. And what happens after that?
And tell me what your age is at this point.
At this point, that I was 36 years old.
Okay.
When I was arrested.
Okay.
And I spent 11 years and 3 months in prison.
Wow. So we're not going to get specific about what crime that was because of your privacy and all those things. We don't want to get into that. But you ended up being sentenced to 11 plus years in prison.
Yes.
You mentioned that during this time you were convicted with, and when you were sentenced, you didn't even really register.
No.
Why is that?
Because I was on a lot of... I was sentenced guilty but mentally ill.
Okay.
I was on a lot of psychological medications.
Mm-hmm.
Prescribed?
Okay. Yes. Not to mention street drugs at the same time.
That's a lot going on.
My life was so disturbed that mentally I was gone. I was a mess. And so the first 6.5 years or so, I was pretty much a vegetable.
In prison.
In prison, yes.
Wow.
But God directed and protected me the whole time. No question in my mind about this, because as most people know, prison is not a playground.
No.
It is very harsh. It is very unforgiving.
Yeah.
And so a lot of bad things happen inside those walls.
Is it difficult to even remember those first 6 years? Is it really foggy?
No.
It's not?
No. No, and I think there's a reason for that.
Mm.
God wants me to remember.
Hmm.
And never go back.
And never go back.
It makes sense. All right, so you're there and you're in prison, and you know, I happen to know which prison that you were in, and I was a volunteer at a prison down the road from that, and I know that the prison that you were in is a pretty difficult one to be in.
Yes, sir.
So you're there, and so you haven't really been into God much for a while, and you begin to see things around the prison that begin to remind you about God, and you begin to get interested again. So how did that road begin to take place?
It's pretty interesting. Some people listening have heard of 3ABN television. I happened across the television from someone going home. It was donated to me, and I was flicking through the channels, and I hear Danny Shelton speaking on certain things. And then the following segment was Behind Bars.
Yes.
If you know what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that got my interest, what they were doing. I think his name is C.J. Murray at the time.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep.
Wonderful man.
So you connected.
I connected very strongly with that.
Wow.
And
These people know what I'm talking about. They're what I'm experiencing.
Right. So I begin to watch it on a regular basis. And then I find out through other people that there's a Seventh-day Adventist service in the prison.
Wow.
So I sign up, even though I'm still, you know, highly medicated.
Wow.
I sign up.
So something spiritual is starting to grow again.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit's beginning to talk to you.
Amen.
And it's beginning. You mentioned to me earlier that you had gone to a few Sunday services in the past.
Yes.
But it didn't click. Why was that?
Because I knew the message that was being taught was wrong.
How did you know that?
Well, for one, I know that my grandma's not upstairs watching.
Uh-huh.
I know that the first day of the week's not the Sabbath. And you learned
that from somewhere.
I learned it from somewhere, yeah.
Grand Ledge.
It is just a long time ago forgotten.
Yes.
You know? So these things start to click.
So those seeds that have been planted so many years ago began to come back to you.
Yes.
And that's such a blessing for me to hear. Tom, I know that your wife is a school teacher.
That's right. Lifetime.
And she sometimes must get, maybe I'm wrong, but I bet sometimes she gets a little frustrated with, am I really making a difference?
Right.
Is this really sinking in?
Although there's many times when there's people come back, like students of Mrs. Rabideau that sing her praises even after she's gone.
That's right.
Yes.
And this is evidence that maybe not at that time did those seeds sink in right away, but years later, they meant something.
They most assuredly.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So you signed up for Seventh-day Adventist services. You began to attend. Yep. And that's where you began to, well, tell me what happened there.
Okay, so over time, the Holy Spirit, like I said, he starts speaking. You want to hear me? Clear your head.
Wow.
Clear your head.
That's an important line.
Clear your head.
What does clear your head mean?
Well, after all those years of all those psychological drugs, your mind is altered. It's clouded. It's, you know, it's confused. So I knew it. The guys even in the service would tell me, you're a zombie.
Wow.
You know, you would sit there drool coming out of your mouth, you know, in service. So these guys are witnesses to the changes that the Holy Spirit made. You know, as time went on and I slowly moved away from these drugs and my mind became clear, the Holy Spirit began to speak.
When you moved away from those drugs, was it with medical help?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
yes,
just clarifying
that. Yes,
it was
step by step. You don't, in prison, you don't just say, I'm not taking my medicine no more. That don't work.
So with psychological help, they slowly weaned you off.
They slowly weaned you off.
So you went to them and you asked to be removed.
Yes, one at a time.
And what you said, one at a time.
Yes. I asked them specifically, what does this one do? You know, I would hold, what does this one do? Can I go without this one? Okay, and one at a time, month after month, we removed them.
Could you feel the difference?
Not right away.
Sure.
But eventually, you realize that you're awake.
This cloud starts to lift.
Right.
So you intellectually knew this is affecting my mind. I got to be taken off. There was an immediate response, but eventually it became clear and you were reinforced.
Yes.
And your mind started clicking when you were trying to do theological, trying to understand, process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started, as I was watching 3ABN, I started opening my Bible. I started reading, making sure what they were saying was right.
Hmm.
You know, I begin to study for myself. Isn't that what the Bible tells you to do?
Hmm.
Study to show yourself approved.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I began to study. So as I studied, the Holy Spirit tells me to pick up a pen, pick up a pad of paper, and write what I tell you to write.
Wow.
So I began to write. And I've, like I said, I wrote many sermons that I eventually shared with the men in prison, not just the men in my service, but men out on the yard and men in my dorm and men in my, you know, I shared it with, I held Bible studies trying to pull people in. I did many things trying to, as the Holy Spirit led, you know.
So let me get this straight. So you were sitting in those services, barely able to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit speaks to you, says, get off these medications, clear your head.
Yeah.
And then you clear your head, and you get an impression to start writing down. You start writing down. You go from barely being able to concentrate to now having coherent sermons and poems that you're sharing with people, and they're being blessed. What a changed life.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
You know, when he has work for you to do,
he enables you.
He enables you. He opens those doors.
So for sake of time, because I know we're running close on our second segment here, there was a dear lady that I know well, Jean Dickerson.
Yes, sir.
She was a member of the Lansing Church. She's since moved from Lansing, but she had been writing you for years there.
Yes.
And when she moved, she passed on that responsibility to Rod.
Yes, she did.
Okay. And so this is where Rod comes into the picture.
Yes, it is.
So you begin to have a relationship with Rod. Tell us a little bit about that, Rod.
Well, Jean asked me if I would pick up the baton, so to speak, and write Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and we emailed back and forth. You can converse with inmates through JPay, it's called, so you might want to look into that. And we developed a friendship, and I actually visited him in prison and met him. That was a high moment for us.
Wow.
And then I was told I couldn't do that anymore because I was a volunteer at another prison. So I arranged to become a volunteer at the cotton facility also.
Wow.
And finally got that process done. This was all probably took a year.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes time. And one day I walked into the room where they met. Nobody was there yet. And I sat down. And a few minutes later, Greg walked in and about fell down.
Why is that? Explain that.
Well, he didn't know I was coming. He had no idea. We hadn't been able to converse for 4 or 5 months, and I showed up. And I want to tell you that it's not about me. It's about someone coming into prison that cares enough. Any volunteer knows this, that the men are so grateful to think that somebody cares.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That we're not forgotten.
That's right. What was it like for you when you saw Rod walk through those doors?
It was answered prayer. It was a blessing beyond comprehension, because not only did Ron show up himself, but eventually others from the Seventh-day Adventist Church have stepped up and began going in those doors, following in his footsteps. Also understand, I want to throw out this too, that the Jackson Church has been involved with Cotton as well.
Yeah.
A young man that's been going in there for years, Andrew Watson, has dedicated a lot of his time to that prison, and I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Amen.
So, this program's called Change Lives. So if you, our listeners, want to change somebody's life, you have to go through a process. And they just don't let anybody walk in or such. But if you do go through that process caring about somebody you may not even know yet, you're almost assured that you will change a life if you're led by Christ to a prisoner. Am I correct?
Absolutely. There are so many that are trying to fill a void, a hole in their lives, in their hearts, but yet their family and friends that they knew before have deserted them, left them for dead. You know, so when someone actually cares enough to reach out and acknowledge that they still exist, that they're not just a number, you know, that's an amazing thing.
So that text in the Bible, you were in prison and I was in prison and you visited me. Do you validate that?
Oh, 100%.
Amen.
Let's go to Rod. Tell me about your experience about this. How do you relate to this? Was this the first prison that you had been with other prisoners? But
oh, yeah. I had, through the Lord's leading, I had been in several prisons, started out in Lakeland, had been going into Cooper Street, and had got Garrett involved there a little bit.
Went with you a little.
Yeah. And I just want to say that You think that we give a blessing? I want to tell you, you get a much better. You leave there with a better blessing than you took.
I second that.
So if you're somebody who's sitting in the pew, you're got a relationship with God, but you don't really feel you're making a difference in somebody's life, would prison ministry possibly be a way that you can get meaning and purpose in your life?
It absolutely is. It's the most neglected ministry that we have, and it's the one that will give you the greatest blessing, will reach people who just are forgotten.
Well, we're concluding the second segment. We've kind of started out as things were going downhill and hit rock bottom, and then we've prison ministries. Greg God holds the spiritual life awakened in him that was planted years before. And after the break, we'll get to the rest of the story.
Can't wait.
Do you want an easy way to support Strong Tower Radio and it won't cost you anything? If you shop Amazon, you can set up your account to have them donate to us. Just go to smile.amazon.com and pick Strong Tower Radio as your charitable organization, and they will donate 0.5% of the eligible purchase to us. That's smile.amazon.com. And you can do more to support Strong Tower Radio by going to strongtowerradio.org and hit the donate button and become a monthly covenant partner. Remember, every little bit helps. We should do all in our power to spread the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 12.
The good news about salvation is that it's free. It is God's gift to you. Even if you could live a perfect life from now on, never sin in deed or even in thought, it would do nothing about the sins you have already committed. For that, you need a Savior. Fortunately, we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And all we have to do is confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. He can be just in forgiving our sins because Jesus has taken our place. Jesus is pleading our case. The Father wants to save us. Jesus wants to save us. All heaven is wrapped up in our salvation. Make no doubt about it. If we're lost, it's because we would not be happy in heaven, where there is no selfishness and no pride, and everyone gets along. Wow, friends, that sounds delightful. I can't imagine not wanting to be there. Let's make plans to meet there.
Welcome back, folks. This is Tom Azure, your host, and with Pastor Garrett Morgan on a program. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
We're doing Changed Lives, and we have Greg Owens, who has a Changed Lives, and I think there's a little bit of Strong Tower Radio in this story yet to come, mm-hmm. too. So, Pastor, take it away.
All right. So, we just mentioned that you were in prison for 11 years and 3 months about that, and as you were going through that, towards the latter part of that, you began to get convicted by the Holy Spirit, and not only did your relationship with Jesus grow, but you began to share with others. And then you met Rod, and Rod came in, and you were writing to people, and things started to flow. So what happened? You finally got your release date, which I'm sure is a miracle of itself. But when you were starting to transition out, how was the transition out of that into, you know, just back into society? Was that a challenge?
Actually, no, it wasn't.
Okay.
Because God works in wonderfully mysterious ways.
Mm.
First and foremost, all of the years I was in prison, I never once in all that time seen someone get out of prison on the day they were given to be let out.
Just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
Okay.
Okay. So right there in the first start, God grants me my parole on the day the judge gave me to get out.
Wow. Hmm.
So I am released exactly on the day I was given,
mm.
which is a miracle in itself. Then, right before all of this come about, right, the hopes of getting out, I didn't reach out to my family for almost 7 years.
Wow.
Okay, after about 7 years, I was in this transition, and I reached out to my mother. My mother and my aunt had been writing me once or twice a month or so, off and on. But I finally reached out on the phone, and I started talking to my mother, and then I got reintroduced to my brothers, and I got reintroduced to my daughter, and all of my family who I had thought would never speak to me again, all are like, where have you been?
Wow.
You know, we've been, you know, and so they all accepted, all have forgiven and, you know, draw me in.
What a blessing.
You know, what a blessing, right? And so my mom, bless her heart, is a member of the Manistee Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah.
And in that church, there was a gentleman who came about looking for someone to take care of his property in a home that he had sitting on his 40 acres. My mom went to him, told him my story, told him that I was soon to get out, God willing. And he said, well, sure, he can come move here. And I'd been praying. This is the greatest miracle. I had been praying for months to be away from everything. I didn't want to be back in the city. I didn't want to be around anything that could draw me the wrong direction.
Makes sense.
And God put me in the beautiful place in the middle of nowhere, free of rent. All I had to do was take care of this property.
Wow.
You know, this gentleman, his loving heart and his kindness towards me was amazing.
And this is so important that when somebody is released from prison, and maybe Rod can jump into it, how many times they don't have a good place to land. And sometimes that comes to, they call it recidivism. They go back at the revolving door, but there was somebody there for you. Rod, can you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. We follow quite a few inmates who are released. And I've seen some, like Greg, who have a great deal of support and are very successful. And I see some who have no support. I can think of one right offhand. He spent about 8 or 9 months living in a cheap hotel that the state provided for him, and riding a bicycle to work in the winter. And it's very tough. And a lot of them just get discouraged and end up going back.
You know, Rod, my experience with a released person is they let him off downtown. I got a call from the pastor, pick him up. It was winter. He had to walk to a certain place. It was in the snow. His feet were wet. All kinds of things. It was a very bad start. And this is not uncommon, as I understand.
It's not. Actually, you have, I think, 24 hours to report to your parole officer. And it might be 300 miles away in the Upper Peninsula, and they don't give you any money to get up there. You're on your own.
Yes. So you landed in a safe with a loving, and you know, sometimes they may not have a family. Sometimes somebody else has to become the family for a parolee.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. I and several other volunteers I know of We have parolees call us on a regular basis.
Accountability?
Well, just friendship and support. And we call them. And there's many stories that I can tell about this.
Yeah.
So, Greg, back to your story.
So, yeah, you got this gentleman that was able to not only give you a place to stay, but you got a job. You were introduced to your family again, got to begin a relationship. So tell me about what you're doing today after you have this relationship with the Lord. What's Greg doing right now in 2020?
God is good. Not only did he give me a place to live and clothes on my back, but he also gave me a wonderful job. I started out as a dock boy, and I am now the foreman of a company.
Wow.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Gave you a second chance.
Yes. Not only am I the foreman of the company, but I have a nice new truck. I have bought a home, and I still have a good relationship with him. I am a member of the Manistee Seventh-day Adventist Church, which gives me opportunity to share and preach on occasion, which is a wonderful thing. I'm still in contact with Rod Dunnebeck on a regular basis, and also with Gene Dickerson and Rich Holtz. And those friendships continue to grow.
That's amazing. Yeah. I see Rod excited over here.
Yeah, I just raised my hand so I could speak. One thing that Greg also did, and it shows how much prison ministry means to him, he donated a large sum of money to prison ministry fund.
Went back, huh?
And to reach those still there. So, if your local church has a prison ministry, or you know some organization somewhere, you can donate. You can help. We send in a lot of Bibles and a lot of tracts and information to inmates all over the state. And it's possible because people donate.
I was just going to mention that. You know, as a pastor, I've been into a few jails before where I've known people that I've maybe had Bible studies with, and you go in when they're being held a few days and you talk with them. But going in, and you got me into this prison ministry as well, and I went with
Praise
you.
Lord.
I went with you several times.
Yes.
To Cooper Street. And I tell you, when you go in there and there's a group of, sometimes 6, times 20 guys that are there, and you sing and you're saying the Word of God, there's something special. It's surreal. I haven't experienced that anywhere else, but
it's a man to man thing.
It is
That men feel I need to help these men.
Yeah,
there's a bonding there.
There's a brotherhood.
There's a brotherhood. And I might mention there's a women's prison in Michigan that is. I don't know if there's any Seventh-day Adventists in there. I don't know if there's a group there. But somebody who lives in that area down by Ann Arbor might want to look into it because the ladies need help too.
Wow. This might be a good time, and we'll want to do it at the end of the program. So if somebody needs to get a piece of paper and a writing instrument. But Rod, tell us how people, our listeners, can support a prison ministry. You're the hands and the feet going to those ministries, but sometimes you need resources.
That's absolutely right. And I want to add that there's a lot of feet out there that I have no knowledge of that are doing prison ministries right now. So it's not about me and it's not about the Lansing Church. It's about people all over who are doing
Amen.
These things.
Amen.
And a lot of them are just writing. A lot of them are just sending in things. I'd start with your local church and ask your pastor, do we have anything going on? Do we know anybody that's in prison that we should be writing, that we should be contacting?
Mm-hmm.
Reach out and call the conference office and ask them. I'd suggest Wes Peppers to start with.
So what you're talking about is the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. If your local pastor or the local church has not quite yet raised up a ministry, what would a number be that we could use to contact that?
517-316-1500.
Very good. So if you would like to help support a prison ministry, you aren't connected to one right now, you could call the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and you could reach out to Pastor Wes Peppers, and that telephone number is 517 516-1500. So that's 517-316-1500. So continue the story.
Yeah, you know, going back to Cooper Street with Rod, you know, I had never been really around the prison system at all since I was there. And I remember walking in, and when you go in and walking across the yard to get to the place where we have worship, and when those doors close behind you, it's a different world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And even if you're just a visitor there, you can sense, okay, this is a different place.
Yeah.
And then I remember leaving and thinking to myself, when I was back home and I was eating dinner with my wife, I remember thinking, they're still there. And, yeah, and going back the next week, and nothing has changed. And if I went back there today, and it's been 3 years, they're still there.
So that's a feeling I get every time I go home. I just am in shock and awe of what these men go through, yeah, how they have to live year after year after year.
And I see Greg nodding over here, and I guess you can attest to that. And do you feel like there's a sense for a lot of inmates that a lot of them have just been forgotten, not just by their family, but their churches?
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, after so many years, when you know, the outside world realizes that, you know, they're not coming back out, the outside still moves on.
Yeah.
But like you said, when that door closes, I can attest very well that time kind of stands still. In there.
I want to add that, excuse me for interrupting, Greg, but most of the men that we'll go into and meet at a service who have chosen to come to a Seventh-day Adventist service, most of them are not Seventh-day Adventists.
It's true.
They're not. There are some there, but most of them are not. But they've heard the message, and they want to know. And the only way they'll know is if somebody goes in or somebody sends them a book or a Bible.
I got a question.
Amen.
Pastor Garrett and Rod, what's the difference between a Bible study you do behind bars and a Bible study on this side of the bars? Is there any difference?
Well, there's a lot of difference with a volunteer and just a pastor. As a volunteer status, I cannot meet one-on-one with anybody. I always go into the group. You have to get a different status to be as a pastor, to go in and counsel one-on-one. And there's a big difference between the state prison system, Michigan Department of Corrections, and county jails. County jails vary for each county.
Much different. And you know, when you're inside, when you're out in the world, sometimes it's difficult to find someone that has the time to study the Bible with.
Yes.
Because we're busy and there's a lot going on.
A lot of cancellations.
And you have to spend resources to advertise Bible studies, and you'll get a few back at best. And I'm saying we should still do that. But when you go in and you get people that are coming to you because they want to learn.
They want to see you. They're eager. And I can't understand why our church members and pastors, et cetera, don't realize that there's a group of people that are just crying, pleading, sending letters to the conference office. And I could, sometime we'll talk about that, waiting.
So, Rod, when you go to a Bible study, are the Bible studies, group Bible studies behind bar, are the participants prepared?
You better be prepared.
That is true.
Yeah, you better know your stuff and know what you're talking about.
Because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a pastor when I went with Rod the first time, but I was a little bit intimidated. I'll be real with you, because these guys, they're in prison. They don't have they have a lot of time to read, and they're quoting scripture better than I do in many cases.
That's scary. I mean, well, it's good.
Oh yeah, it's like, whoa, okay. And these guys, they're studying and they want to know. And so when you tell them truth, they recognize it because they just read it.
Yeah. And as volunteers, it varies. You don't necessarily do a sit-down Bible study with a group.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a sermon, back and forth, share back and forth, and it's wonderful.
Amen. So just kind of wrapping things up here. So going back to Greg, your life has been miraculously changed by the Lord. You're active doing ministry on the outside. You still have a passion for your brothers that are still in and that will be coming out here soon. I know that in my district where I'm pastoring and around Michigan, maybe there's people that are listening right now that have just gotten out. Maybe there's people that are listening that are in right now that have a radio. You're evidence that there are second chances available. What would you say to those people that are nervous, that might have a lot of anxiety about their future?
Trust God, for one. Reach out. There's resources out there everywhere. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing and capable. But first and foremost, you know, surrender yourself. Trust God to know that He's leading you where you need to go.
Amen.
And you know, it's just, you have to be willing to accept Him, accept what He's done, and know that your future is in His hands.
Amen.
You know?
And I might want to add, listeners who are supporting us, one way you can contribute is Strong Tower Radio goes behind bars. And I've got calls on different occasions, those calls that are timed, and they call you from prison, and they get their one phone call, and they call Strong Tower Radio. So we are ministering behind bars in multiple ways.
Yeah, I have heard since I've been out, because in Cotton, I did not get the opportunity to hear Strong Tower Radio. But when I got out, I listened to it more than anything else, and I have heard some amazing things come off. I heard the last interview you had with
Rod,
Mr. Dunnebeck here, and it's just, what you guys do is amazing. And keep it up, because you're reaching.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being here with us today. And I'm sure that we'll have a chance to talk again sometime soon. But I'll just hand it back to you.
Thanks so much, and another Changed Live. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
This is JB, and I have a question for you. Have you ever heard someone say that we need to give until it hurts? Oh, my friend, don't do it. Don't give until it hurts. Give until you giggle. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. So we need to give until we giggle. A fun and exciting way to do that is to go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on that donate button. There you'll find all you need to make a one-time donation and get a giggle. Or better yet, become a covenant partner and get your giggles every week or every month. Check it out. And as always, thank you for your prayers and financial support of Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Folks, Jelaine Fenner here. Do you want an easy way to support Strong Tower Radio and it won't cost you anything? When you're shopping on Amazon, just go to smile.amazon.com and pick Strong Tower Radio as your charitable organization, and they will donate 0.5% of the eligible purchase to us. That's smile.amazon.com. So you're going to shop anyways? Why not help Strong Tower Radio?